Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 11, 2022. Medium published my new article Why Longevity. Engineers at MIT and the Technical University of Munich have designed a new kind of fuel cell that converts glucose, sugar, into electricity. The device is about 1/100th the diameter of a human hair. The sugary power source generates the highest power density of any glucose fuel cell to date under ambient conditions. Since glucose is the energy source of the cells in our body and runs free in our veins, the device can use that same energy source and avoid the need for a battery. Excitingly, says one of the fuel cell's engineers, we are able to draw power and current that's sufficient to power implantable devices, such as pacemakers for the heart. Instead of using a battery, they add, which can take up 90% of an implant's volume, you could make a power source with no volumetric footprint, and without the need to replace it, as is with batteries. Medicine can really boost longevity. In fact, it has been doing so for the past 150 years or so. With technological advancements and scientific discoveries, there really seems to be no limit to what we can achieve when it comes to medicine. The question is not whether we can live longer, but what for? Why longevity? What would we do with our extra years? Today, we spend the first 2 to 3 decades of our lives growing up, 2 to 3 more decades working hard and trying to enjoy ourselves, and the remaining 2 to 3 decades fading away through illness and old age. Why stretch this over 3 centuries? I think that before we go about prolonging our lives, we should plan them better. I do not think there is any justification in living longer unless we use our time here to benefit others rather than indulge ourselves in selfish pleasures for another century or so. The number of years we live should be determined by the amount of good we can bring. Everything we do needs to have a purpose. This is especially so when it comes to our entire life. The purpose of life is to find the ultimate power of life, the driving force of existence, and tell the world about it so that everyone can achieve that goal, as well. Currently, we are at war with life itself. This is why our paradigm is survival of the fittest. We are in a constant struggle for survival, and our best moments are when we can take a break from the war. But not fighting to stay alive is not enjoying life. It is not even enjoying, but only a temporary relief from the struggles for survival. Life's purpose is to be complete, to understand everything, justify everything, be happy with everything, and feel the power of creation operating behind all things. We know that there is a force that operates all things because if there weren't, they would not exist. However, we do not feel this force. If we felt it, we would feel how the same force operates everything, all that exists, including ourselves. And since we would feel the same force behind everything, we would feel that everything is one, different faces of the same force. When you feel that one force, you feel creation itself. You understand what is happening, where you are, and that this force is within you and envelops you. Sympathizing with creation opens up all your senses. You feel the world directly, as though you are not trapped in your skin and nothing stands between you and all of creation. Because you now know that everything is one, you justify creation, justify its creator, and justify the purpose of creation. And because you feel connected to everything and everyone, and feel that they are all you and you are them, you can only do good to all things, and you feel that doing good for others is doing good for you. If you achieve this, then life makes sense and longevity is worthwhile. In fact, if you achieve this, you have achieved eternity. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how can we deal with negative emotions? Negative emotions awaken in us, first in order to signal that we have to advance from where we are to a better place. That better place is an essential change in human connections, which ultimately comes down to mutual relations of love. We currently do not know what that kind of love is, Love means that we feel what is good for others and try to do that for them, and that others try to do the same for us. Usually when negative emotions arise, we try to find an escape from such feelings. However, such an approach fails to let us realize the positive change that the negative emotions invite us to make. In order to not escape from the negative emotions, and realize them positively, we need to learn the kinds of relations that we should have in our world, because our world has to reach balance with the greater system of nature that controls us. Precisely that system awakens negative emotions in us, so that we adapt ourselves to it, open it up and reveal it. How does developing positive human connections adapt us to the greater system of nature? It is because nature is interconnected and interdependent as a single system, and its subsystems are in sync with each other, supporting one another. Therefore, developing relations of mutual love clicks us into balance at the human level with nature's own interconnectedness and interdependence, thereby realizing our part in nature. Based on the video How to Deal with Negative Feelings with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Aaron Levi. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Two types of influence of light. Question: can it be said that the light affects me when I consciously seek to know it? Or like a child in this world, can it affect me even without my awareness? Answer: light constantly surrounds us, and affects us. We exist inside it. But the point is that Kabbalah speaks about the direction of the influence of light from the Creator to us, and about how we can cause its influence on us. A person who is in attainment consciously evokes the influence of light on himself. This is one impact. And there is another effect when the light affects him without his desire for it. From Kab TV's Spiritual States, July 19, 2022. The Israeli police do not feel protected. Question: there is a very big problem in Israel, a big number of police officers are resigning. It used to be an honor to become a policeman. Today, resignations are coming one after another. They are being given more and more tasks, more and more responsibility. The salary, however, is very low, below average. They are accused of abusing authority more and more often. They even are being tried for it. When an Israel border police, MIGAF, fighter who neutralizes a terrorist is forced to testify as a suspect, of course, he has a feeling that the country has betrayed him, that it is better to find another job and earn more. Please tell me what our actions should be regarding those who protect us, the police. Answer: I even feel uncomfortable talking about it. How is it possible that the policemen get so little and are so little protected? We have to protect them with the whole country and pay them more than in any other job because they deal with riots, with crime every day, every minute. When I was in Switzerland about 15 years ago, I talked to a policeman there. An ordinary novice policeman receives 8,000 euros a month. It is not easy to get a job there and it is not easy to work there. Yet, what is special about Switzerland? Question: exactly. Who are you really saving there? And here you are always on edge. Does it mean that, by and large, these two points, and there are probably even more of them, respect from the government and the fact that they are engaged in important work and are always protected, should be present? Answer: of course, society should protect them. Question: is the fact that they receive very little money also a feeling that they have been abandoned? Answer: of course. We should raise their salary. Review the laws of resisting police officers, keeping arms, and so on. Give them a little more freedom in their hands. Strengthen them and recruit a normal number of police officers. Then everything will be different. They should feel that the people are behind them. And the people should feel that they are protecting them. From Kab TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 11, 2022. What will stop the violence in hospitals? Comment: there is an outbreak of violence in Israel's hospitals. The statistics relating to doctors, nurses, and guards being beaten in hospitals are incredible. Examples include the doctor being hit on the head with an iron stick because a patient was asked to leave an office, or for rearranging queues for tests or for not being served the right way, etc. And I'm not talking about insults, as there are a lot of them as well. 48% of hospital employees are insulted at least 3 times a month and 17% are physically abused. The government's response is to strengthen police protection in hospitals. My response: I don't think it will help. Firstly, it is necessary to work with the population. And secondly, we still need to make sure that thousands and thousands of people do not generally end up in the hospital and clinics. They should receive some kind of care prior to clinics and especially prior to the hospital, meaning, help at home. Question: tell me please, has this surge of violence that is happening now happened before? What is it in us that triggers it? Answer: people are nervous. They are waiting, maybe for help, and they can't stand queues and so on. Question: is it correct to say that you would essentially turn almost all of it back to the ministers? Answer: doctors are not to blame here and neither are the patients. The wrong organization of labor is to blame. Whoever is doing this, let them figure it out. Question: do you think the police will be able to cope with this? Answer: no. Some grandfather came, screamed, hit the doctor on the head with his stick. What can you do? He can't take it anymore. It doesn't matter that he's wrong, it is simply a fact. It is important to sort everything out to serve a person before that so that he does not reach a nervous breakdown. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 7, 2022. Not to read, but to attain. Comment: there is so much depth in the articles we read. It seems like I have already heard it, read it 10 times, and 10 times there is something new. My response: it is because you need not to read, but to attain. You need to change yourself, to rise above yourself. Then the content will be within you. Question: let's say you look at the text and enter into it, how do you make all these transformations? Answer: I do not enter into anything. It surfaces inside me. Or you can say that I am speculatively entering the spiritual world inside me. Question: while studying, for example, the book of Zohar, you give us certain recommendations: read in this way, think in that way, together, and everyone adapts to it. But you are still talking, and what we hear is limited. We do not really hear what you are asking us to do. Perhaps this is our fantasy working. How well do your students work with the material that you give? Answer: I cannot say. They work as much as they can. I am both satisfied and dissatisfied, but this is what it is. Question: while studying, should a person just endure it or look for something within himself? For example, you give definitions, but they are so abstract that there is nothing to cling to in order to find these images within me. Answer: search, everything is within you. I understand that you cannot grasp where it is in you. It is spinning somewhere out there, but it is not clear exactly where. This is the work. Question: what about fantasy, when a person begins to invent something for himself? Answer: this is wrong. We need not fantasy, but attainment and work in a group. Question: what is the difference between attainment and understanding? Answer: you understand with a brain that is silly and disconnected from reality. You do not know if this is correct or not. Today you understand it this way and tomorrow in a different way. It is logical in accordance with some facts and with some theory that is inside you. This is an understanding or even, maybe, an awareness. Attainment, however, is something that leaves no doubt and cannot be changed, since it is the revelation of the Creator's system within you to the extent that you have become similar to it. Meaning, this is absolute. From CabTVs I got a call. How to study Kabbalistic texts. February 16, 2013. Is it better to be kind or evil? Question. Looking at modern bloggers, you see how they earn millions of likes, millions of views. Quite a lot of people watch them. There is a constant criticism with piercing hatred and lowering of others. And the more you do it, whether you belong to the right or the left, it does not matter. The more people listen and hear you. And those who say, "Let's live peacefully, let's build good connections and love each other," are not heard. Tell me, where are we heading today? Answer, these are such times. Before, times were not so ideologically clear. One did not have to choose to be this or that. Everything was more common. Comment, yes, it was possible to talk about peace and friendship. No one was chasing views or likes back then. My response, because there was no money behind it. They are not chasing those today either, they are chasing money. Either money or fame. One of those must be behind it. Question, if this is how we develop and keep advancing, what kind of humanity will we come to? Answer, no, this is all going to change. This is a transitional period. Besides, there are such wars going on now and these wars will continue to develop. Humanity needs a clear, defined goal. There is no such goal today. Therefore, there is nothing to call upon, nothing to pursue, to strive for, etc. So, the problem of humanity is that it has lost its absolute reference points. Before, at least there was communism, capitalism, fascism, and so on. There were people involved, speakers, ideologists. But today, there is practically nothing. This is why humanity is in such a phase that it is not pulled anywhere or moved by anything. Everything is rather vague. Question. What will this vagueness lead to? Answer. Egoism is constantly growing. So, we need to wait for it to demand new goals, new states from us. Our focus has to be on, where are we headed? Why? None of this is here today. It should be defined. Comment. But egoism will require real, significant pleasures. Answer. Egoism will require to be filled. Question. What will fill it? What do you think will fill it in the future? It is clear what kind of fillings we had in the past. Answer. Today we are also talking about fulfilling egoism, either conquering, or doing something to another, some nasty trick, etc. or to harshly criticize. This also fulfills the egoism of both you and the viewer. These are all fillings. But these fillings will be increasingly acute, explicit, egoistic, antagonistic, it is good for me, bad for you, and so on. Today, all this is getting relatively smoothed out somehow as we are in an intermediate phase of development. Question. Will this flow of criticism and hatred lead to hearing those who talk about good connections and love? Answer, I am afraid that it will not come to good connections, love, or conversations about it. People will start devouring each other. There will be such an egoistic explosion. Question, and will this lead to some kind of a change? Answer, I do not believe one will instantly lead to the other. Comment, you used to be more optimistic. Answer, yes. Today, it is spreading more and more. So I do not think we are in a state where there will be sudden changes in society or people. Question, so you do not have an optimistic forecast? Answer, number comment, no. This is not a good ending. My response, this is a realistic conclusion. It is realistic. I do not think the world is about to embrace the recognition of evil. This is what we must come to. And then bounce back from it to good. It is not there yet. To do so, society must accumulate vast experience and understanding of what is happening today. This has not happened yet. The world does not understand that it needs to get rid of egoism, of this petty, bourgeois fuss, who buys cheaper, better, more, etc. Just look what countries or people are busy with. After all, they must change their values to more exalted ones. But it is not what we are coming to. Question: what values characterize the next step of humanity? Answer: the answer to the question, what do I live for? The fact that I exist is clear, the fact that I need to exist, I understand. But what for? This question does not live in people yet, it does not manifest itself. Comment: so, you say that at least this question is a question of overturning. Answer: oh, if such a question were formed, humanity would have already been wailing, what do we live for? From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, June 27, 2022. According to the principle of teleportation. In the news, DNA teleportation. Really? French virologist Dr. Luc Montagnier, who was awarded a share of the 2008 Nobel Prize in Medicine and Physiology, passed away on February 8. The prize, awarded for his 1983 discovery of the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, was richly deserved but was not without controversy. In 2009, the year after he won the Nobel Prize, Dr. Montagnier published a paper that smacked of the widely discredited experiment described by immunologist Jacques Benveniste in a 1988 paper in Nature. Benveniste suggested that water has some sort of memory, retaining a ghostly profile of a substance that had been dissolved in it even after that substance was no longer present. In step with Benveniste, Montagnier in his curious paper, published in a journal of which he himself was editor-in-chief, claimed that he had detected electromagnetic signals in water that had previously held viral DNA even after the DNA had been filtered and the water repeatedly diluted. The signals were recorded by a microphone coil and sent by email to a group in Italy where it was transmitted to a sample of distilled water in a sealed metal tube. When placed in a PCR machine, this water, which contained nothing, was able to direct the synthesis of DNA that turned out to be identical to Montagnier's original. Basically, this was a claim that DNA could be teleported. Beam me up, Scotty. The scientific establishment was stunned. Here was a Nobel Prize winner making a totally implausible claim. Needless to say, nobody has been able to duplicate the experiment. My response: the same exists in physics. When microparticles located billions of light years away instantly connect between themselves and communicate with each other. Comment: some scientists, in particular academician Peter Garrieff, stated that cells in the human body are also arranged according to the principle of teleportation, which means that any cell instantly knows what is happening in another. As a researcher, he was posing the questions: how is this information being transmitted? On what medium? My response: it is not transmitted anywhere, but exists constantly and everywhere in its entirety. A time of transmission does not exist. After all, time practically does not exist. This is the paradox. That is why science has reached a dead end and cannot advance further. Wherein do we have the crisis in science? We have come to a state where our research depends on our qualities. And here is where the problem arises: we have to change our qualities in order to start breaking into new areas. The universe and everything around us is arranged, as physicists or biologists say, according to a holographic principle. There is a holographic picture in which everything is interconnected. If we see two parts separated from each other, we are looking at the same object from different angles, from one side, then from the other side, and therefore it seems to us that these are two objects. In fact, everything is one object. Consequently, there is no transmission, there is no one to transmit. From CAB TV's Close Up. Human Genome, July 17, 2011. Michael Leitman, on Quora, why are we here? What is the meaning of life? Why do we exist? Why am I asking these questions? What is the meaning of life? At a certain point, we realize that there is no sense in living, that we live in vain. Life passes us by every day, and maybe it would be best if we did not exist to begin with. Indeed, we have sought the meaning of life for thousands of years, and we as a humanity have yet to find an ultimate meaning to life. It is as if we live in order to ask this most fundamental question in every generation and to not find an answer to it. The question about the meaning of life arises within us, involuntarily. Although it might seem better and easier not to ask about the meaning of life, if it would be so, then we would remain at the animal level. Humans, rather, keep evolving, and our constant development is expressed in us, increasingly asking about the meaning of life from one generation to the next. We cannot help but ask about the meaning of life and why we are here. The mere fact that we keep questioning ourselves will bring us to the point when someday we will start discovering the real answer to life's biggest question. I hope that such a day will come very soon. What, then, is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is to discover the meaning of life. What is it though? We will need to discover it. We live in this world in order to seek the answer to specifically that question, and we all subconsciously seek its answer regardless of age, nationality, gender and profession. We are locked in a constant search for the meaning of life, and we have no idea about the base motivation behind such a search. It might seem as if some people manage to find themselves in life, saying that they live life well and achieve a lot, regardless of a specific search for the meaning of life, but such people simply convince themselves of such statements. However, the desire to find the meaning of life lives within them as it does with everybody, otherwise they would not be alive to begin with. Every moment of our life starts with the question about why we are living. We do not realize it, and we thus live through the given moment, and then in the next moment we ask ourselves that same question, what am I living for? And we do so time and again. We continue living in such a way during the course of our entire lives, but we still lack a clear answer. Nonetheless, we re-enter that quest, living through every moment with that question at its basis, and move throughout our lives in such a way. Our life's flow is a continuous question about the meaning of life and a constant search for an answer that we never discover. Moreover, the question, what is the meaning of life? Precedes our physiological perception. It is our most important and fundamental question. Moreover, it is a question that relates to our spiritual quest. After we ask about the meaning of our lives, our body and our organs start revitalizing and blossoming, and we develop as such. Eventually, after living millions of diverse lives, we eventually will indeed find the meaning of life, which is to reach a clear perception and sensation of the source of all life. We will all reach that discovery. At a certain point of our development, we will shift from unconsciously asking about the meaning of our lives at every moment, to a state where we will start seeking the meaning of life consciously. That is, we will improve in our ability to imagine what the source of our lives is, and how, on what basis, with what qualities and intentions, we can approach it, grabbing hold of it like a baby to its mother. When we do so, we will then have a certain tool by which we can start connecting with the meaning of our lives, and when we reach that stage, then we will start actively seeking our life's source, working out what it wants from us, what we expect from it, and why the entire meaning of life is only to eventually draw and adhere to the source of our lives. At such a point, will we truly start absorbing and understanding the meaning of life? The search for the meaning of life is a pathway to eternity, and eternity is a state of constantly coming closer to the source of our lives, increasingly holding on to, clinging to, and adhering to it. Based on the video, what is the meaning of life? Why do we ask about the meaning of life? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Semyon Vinoka. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.